Oh yeah. Gotta hit him with the, what is that, Randy Savage? Oh yeah. Snap into a side project. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the Side Project Podcast.
Oh yeah.
How is everybody doing, man? I bet people are wondering right now, looking at the screen, they're wondering, is he wearing a sweater in the summertime? And you know what? Doesn't he live in California? Isn't it hot out there? You know what? It is. I've got the AC going where I'm at, but I'm already starting to sweat. It's hot. Sacrificing it because on the Side Project merch store right now, all the sweaters that are up there, they're all going to be, you know what, improving this entire moment. I have no idea how much they're going to be off. You guys are seeing a completely improved moment. They could be 50% off. They could be 30% off. You know what? I'll just say it like this. Whatever price they are right now is not the price that they're going to be when this episode comes out, which also doesn't make any sense because you're seeing this for the first time instead of being here with me in real time right now. But on the Side Project merch store, you can get all the sweaters. It's like the summer sale is what I'm calling it. There's a summer sale where you can get a bunch of it. It's X amount off, and it's going to be awesome. You can rock this Project Line sweater. I got the, I always forget which way to go when I do this, man. I got the other one, the logo right here, the zip-up hoodie, and there's all kinds of other hoodies up there. There may be even, by the time this episode comes out, there may be even new merch up there, new sweaters up there that you can get for X amount off. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be absolutely awesome. You know what else is awesome? Me welcoming somebody awesome to the show this week. A cosplayer who has been a previous Cosplay of the Week here before. Someone who I've had the pleasure of meeting in person at this last year's WonderCon. Someone who I know is in the minority with me on actually liking the Eternals, actually enjoying the Eternals film and taking it a step further and cosplaying as an amazing Icarus. Get your glasses of milk ready because you may have seen him as a striking Homelander cosplay via The Boys. And that's not all. There's so much more, and we may just talk about a flurry of them here today. A man who is very knowledgeable on many things Marvel, and that's a good thing because we've got a lot to cover. So, ladies, gentlemen, Wakandans, be weary. Mutants, unite. Calm the oceans. Atlantis, rise. Your king has arrived. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give a warm welcome and put our hands together for Namor Cosplay. How is it going, man?
Dude, I'm living my best life. Namor's been trending on Twitter top this entire week. It's been great.
I was just going to say that, dude, even on your Instagram, man, in a time where a lot of people are experiencing all-time lows on Instagram, you are absolutely thriving, dude. Congratulations, dude. That is awesome, man. And congratulations on, like, all the awesome things that have been occurring for you lately within cosplay. I mean, LA Comic-Con featured you on their IG account just recently. Yeah. A video from the National Cosplay Championship. I mean, looking beastly up there. And then I believe you also had something with Variety as well. They shared you or they reposted you or
there was something? A Marvel meetup we were at San Diego Comic-Con, and they got a bunch of cosplayers. They got my friend Michelle as well doing Emma Frost, and we just did some cool poses. I was like, when you're at these things, you don't know who these people are. You're just like, can I take a picture? I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? And then you're just like, I was like, oh, look, you're in this video. I was like, oh, no shit. This is pretty awesome.
So. Yeah, dude, that's really cool, man. So congratulations on all that, man. That is awesome. You have a bunch of amazing cosplays, dude, ranging from Namor to, like I mentioned, Homelander, from, you know, Namor to Icarus. And then I think it's Namor to Nova. And then I think you also got, what is it? Oh, it's some more Namor. That's what it is. I'm just playing, man. You do have a lot of Namor cosplays, a wide variety of them, and they differ from one another. That's why. And you have kind of become synonymous with the Submariner, dude, because it's achieving that status of, like, in cosplay, when you think of Namor in cosplay, you definitely think of you, dude. And I think lately there's been, like, this resurgence of Namor, and soon to be even more so with Wakanda Forever on the horizon, which we'll talk about even more in a bit. But I would say that for a while, kind of, like, Namor was a little bit more so of a lesser known. I kind of don't want to say lesser known, but also somewhat lesser known.
Personally, we all say this in Namor Nation. Namor Nation is our small but mighty fandom. That's kind of our thing.
Yeah,
we're hardcore. Mm-hmm. But you know, we all agree that Namor has been very mishandled in the modern age, specifically with Jason Aaron's Avengers, the worst characterization ever. Because Namor was really big, and like I personally still think his best stories are is the Silver Age. Like if anyone asks me what I recommend, I say Submariner 1968, Submariner Prince Namor the Submariner 1984 as miniseries. Like those are, you know, Tales to Astonish. Those are my favorite Namor stories. But for recently, we've had a resurgence in his books too. Because what was interesting too is as Jason Aaron's terrible Avengers was going on, we also had like the worst Namor characterization. We had Kurt Busiek wrote a King in Black miniseries that centered on Namor in 2020. And it was one of the best like characters that we've seen in a while.
Yeah.
And when it was like in the past and like young Lady Dorma, young Atuma, we finally got an Atuma backstory, which Atuma has been around since as long as Namor has. And we finally got one in 2020, but, and then now he's getting a new limited series by Chris Cantwell in October, which he described as like kind of an homage and to honor, you know, Bill Everett's original creation in the Golden Age, you know, the beginning of Namor and like on the Human Torch and like the Invaders and Namorita and like all these, you know, it feels fresh. I mean, it's set in the far distant future, but at least it's not, you know, angry sea elf as some people will do.
Dude, you know your shit, man. That is awesome, dude. My dad is like a giant Namor fan, and I'm not gonna lie and claim that I'm like I know a bunch about Namor. I know like kind of the basics and maybe a little bit then some, you know, because my dad was such a big X-Men fan. So he was a big Namor fan and everything, you know, mutants. And so he taught me all of that. But the one thing that I kind of was late on was the Namor part, you know. And I think that is somewhat a lot of people around our age group, you know, kind of. And then especially coming up in this modern era, like you said as well. And then with DC showcasing Aquaman, a lot of people don't know that Namor was actually first. And maybe not, no, not in film, but comic-wise, Namor was first. Marvel did it first. And he has an interesting connection with the mutants, too. What was that?
Namor's sales were so good that Aquaman was created because of his sales. So exactly. When people say, like, because it's one of the most aggravating things, to be honest, as a Namor fan, a cosplayer and a fan, because we're really continuously berated with these Aquaman and now recently with the Deep. Like, honestly, it gets to a point, like, I was at San Diego Comic-Con this weekend, and what's been great, I was like, oh, this is so cool. I'm at LA Comic-Con, WonderCon, everyone knows who I am. I'm at San Diego. Mm-hmm. I'm wearing the Phoenix 5, you know, the red and the black and the massive gold armor. And I have the trident, as they do, and people kept calling me Aquaman, and it really, it pisses me off. There's one that really pisses me off that I will not name, but it's, like, Rick and Morty, and that one makes one, like, it really boils my blood when people call me that because it's a joke. I don't like to compare it to a joke, but
I feel that.
A little tangent, but the Namor community is just has been being berated with these Aquaman comparisons for so long. And I don't think they're not even like the same in retrospect because they're both from Atlantis. They're both half human and they're both sea creatures and kings, but the difference is Namor is a king and an anti-hero who kind of does what he wants. Aquaman's more of a hero. Like Namor may be on the Avengers right now, but it's not, I don't think it belongs there, but Aquaman does feel like a perfect fit for the Justice League. Meanwhile, Namor is the one who will attack the Justice League, you know?
Exactly. And I think a lot of people aren't aware of that Namor was the first mutant as well, technically, you know, that's an awesome thing. What is it about Namor for you though, that drew you in so much that you were like, I have to become this character, you know, in a way, like why Namor for you?
Well, it's a long story, but the short answer is
that's what we're here for.
Basically what happened is, you know, growing up, you know, I didn't do after school programs. My parents worked, I went to my grandparents' house and my dad had five brothers. So there was a lot of comics laying around and mostly Captain America. That's one I read the most. He was my first favorite character. Through Captain America, I started reading The Invaders, which is one of my favorite comic teams ever. It's like Captain America, Namor, and the original Human Torch, Jim Hammond. That's how I discovered Namor, because Captain America is like, you know, goody two shoes, like, you know, do what's right. And Namor only joined the fight because you know, the Nazis were coming in. You thought Atlanteans would be a problem. So he's only doing it for his people. He doesn't care about America. But really, you know, molded my love for him is, you know, again, he's not a goody two shoes. He's unpredictable. And because he's a king, and I don't think people realize that. And it's actually a peeve of mine when people call him a villain when he's actually an antagonist in some people's views, but to his people and to Atlantis, he's a hero and he's their king. He's doing his decisions based on what's best for him.
Right.
People don't listen to him. He's saying that you're killing my people, you're destroying my oceans, et cetera, et cetera. And they don't care. The surface slaps it off. They don't give a shit.
Hear me, humans. I am Namor, Prince of Atlantis. Your foul species is hereby banned from the seas and oceans of the world. Any who enter the waters will face my wrath.
Like I stated, man, you have a lot of different iterations of Namor that you cosplay, much like this one that I'm going to throw up. I'm going to go through a few of them here and there and throw a couple on the screen. We'll talk about them, man. Much like this one with the black shoulders, dude, your black armor iteration, man. I love this, dude. Photo by, is it Matotosh? Matotosh?
Yeah, it's the photography. Matt.
Okay, yeah. Matotosh on Instagram. The photo is done by him. Something that I always love too. And then, like I said, because I was talking to my dad about that you were coming on because he's a big Namor fan, and I was showing him your cosplay and everything. And one of the first things that he pointed out was your eyebrows. And he was like, I love that he does the comic accurate eyebrows, because that's something that my dad was like, you know what? They're not doing that in Wakanda Forever. Something I also like is the attention to detail with the ankle wings on there, man, which is an edit done by yourself. You do a lot of your own edits as well.
That was actually my first shoot ever. My first Namor costume, first Namor shoot. It was basically his current look is the black armor. And that's, I really like that. So I kind of did like my own take of it. So it's kind of like a free version of like it with my own implications. And as we'll see later, I did do like a different version of the black armor the next year. But this was my first cosplay ever. I still have it. It's never going to see the con floor because it's been out so many times. It's just, you know, old version. Mm-hmm. But I definitely still like have it. And I use it for the King in Black variant I have with these other pants. And I use like a black cape. It's from the King in Black number 5 cover.
Right.
So it's like a... So that way it's not like, there's still reason to keep it and not toss it.
You've got this one, man, that I think like the deep comic fans will really enjoy, dude. You have a Namor Phoenix 5 version, dude.
Yeah.
Gold shoulders, arms fully covered, black and red pants. Oh, man, it's gorgeous, dude. Dark Phoenix flowing, which it was like the edit once again done by yourself, dude.
Yeah.
Photo by Frame Drop Photos. I mean, what was going through your mind when you wanted to do the Phoenix 5 version?
So Namor's my favorite character of all time, and I kind of got put off by doing him for a while because of body issues. And, you know, he's shirtless, and it's a big deal, and, you know, you're really out there and stuff.
But you're looking good though. I don't mean to cut you off, but I mean like all of these pictures, man, you're looking great, dude. So if you're body conscious, it's all just you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which we all do. We're all guilty of it, you know?
Yeah. Namor is a huge part of why, you know, I do work out and keep it going. And like I started actually had a plan going in place where I wanted to do a physique competition.
Right.
And I did that and I timed it out with this cosplay that the first black armor. So that way I'd be at peak physique. And then, you know, I put off Namor for so long. I got like addicted. I was like, I want to do Phoenix 5 next. And I want to do this next. And
yeah,
I decided to do the Phoenix 5 next because I loved it. And I actually use this. It's actually my bracers. It's one of my favorite things.
It's so good looking, dude.
Gold vinyl. So it's not spray paint. And I think that's what I really love about the Phoenix 5 is because when you're out in the sun, it just glows and just shines. And it's like, it's so cool.
With the big gold shoulders and everything, dude. It just looks, do people give you crazy looks when you're on the beach doing these shoots, dude?
You know, it's always interesting too. I remember actually my first shoot when I went there as Namor, I was so nervous because I'm in this big armor and I'm like completely shirtless in the front. Like, what are people think? And to be honest, it's Los Angeles and Malibu. And, there was 2 engagement shoots. There was this chick with this like full size mirror taking pictures on the beach. Like, I was like, okay, this is LA in general. But, you know, you get looks. Like, it was a little bit different when we shot this past month. I went to Laguna Beach twice because it was me and 2 different people who were in San Diego. So it was a middle point. But we were in Laguna Beach, so it's like less LA. So it was like Namor versus Atuma and then Namor versus Black Panther. But it was a lot different experience because it was more like a, normal beach, not like, photos and shit. And it was interesting too, because we were like on the rocks and, Atuma's blue and like a fucking crowd taking pictures of us and like doing these fighting poses. It was hilarious.
It's kind of cool though. It's kind of cool though, man. Yeah.
I was like so anxious about like all these people because it was a very crowded beach day too.
Mm-hmm.
And then literally I kind of had like this weird adrenaline high that was just like, we kind of felt like performers and like, I'm not an actor.
Yeah.
Felt like it, like, because I'm in the costume that I was wearing like this and I tried, and then there's blue Atuma over there. Like, it was so interesting. So
do people come up to you, ask any questions or anything?
Yeah, they're like, oh, who are you? Yeah, you get Aquaman's, and you're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
They're normies. It's okay. You got
yeah, they don't know. It's all right. We'll let it slide.
I remember I was in MCU Namor with the Black Panther shoes. Like, hey, it's Aquaman. And I kept saying, November.
Serious, man. They'll get it eventually. You know what I mean? They'll figure it out eventually, dude. You got this other awesome one, man. This all black, the vest iteration, which you're wearing the vest right now, right? Absolutely dope, dude. This iteration, holding the trident, looking fire as ever, dude. With the ocean coming, the waves coming in. You got your hand down. I mean, this thing, trident in the other hand, it's absolutely amazing, dude. Caption says, Namor, nation, rise. The summer of Namor is here. And this photo's done by Joel D. Castro Photography on Instagram. I mean, this one, I really dig this one, dude. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's like the black and gold vest. And I know, I really like, I like this one.
The waves contrasting too. And
yeah, maybe that's what it is too.
One thing I'm always, you know, trying to do as a Namor cosplayer, specifically, like, I really just want to do, like, you know, I think that's one of the beauteous parts of being a specific character is that you're always able to one up yourself and not just like, okay, here's Homelander, I'm going to do that. Here's Nova, I'm going to do that. And then move on to this character. Because I'm able to do all these different characters or versions of Namor, I'm able to kind of think of what can I do that is going to be different, or like, what can I really do that really just makes this, like, you know, very Namor. Because everything I do is for him, especially because, you know, as I've said before, he's a very, told like last week, he's a very low character. Yeah. And I'm really trying to, you know, and what I'm going to try to do too is really educate people and just really show people that he's a badass character. And I want to show him my version of it, because I see all these websites and I think they villainize him and they really just make him out to be a bad character and stuff. Right. So I want to show him in like very positive light and want to show that he is badass. And, you know, he can compete with Aquaman, and then he can kill Mr. Nimbus and all this other shit. And he's not the deep. And
he's not the deep. Yeah, it's true.
That's the most annoying thing. Someone called me the deep in the Phoenix Five.
It doesn't even look the same. I mean,
I turned to him. I was like, bro, what episode did he wear this?
Exactly.
I literally just pissed off. I was like, what episode did he wear this iron gold armor? I love the boy. I've never seen him wear this.
I can just picture you there. Like, someone's like, oh, look, it's the deep. You're like, do I look like I'm fucking an octopus? Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, screaming at, like, Jesus Christ, I'm Namor.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
Let's take a look at another amazing one, dude. One with the cape flowing, the king in black, dude, which you're also wearing a cape right now as well, though, right? You're wearing the red iteration. Yes, dude. I love that one too, dude. This one in this photo is done by Frame Drop Photos, man. Also, like, so beautiful because you have like the ocean scenery, dude. You know what I mean? So it's like they're all like so well put together, man.
Being a Namor cosplayer in California and living in Los Angeles is that Malibu. Right.
Yes.
There.
Yes,
like,
dude.
Midwest or some shit. Or even like, I'm from Buffalo, and like, you know, where I go, like, I mean, that's a lie. Actually, we got some really good shots and photos in Buffalo, but at like Ontario. But you know, we're able to go fucking Malibu.
Yeah, exactly.
Rock structures and beautiful sunsets and cliffs.
Like, yes,
I'm very blessed that like this kind of lined up with my life. So
yeah, you know what I always also like is when cosplayers have like these like action style shots, and you have one that's a standout to me, dude, where you're pushing through the water, man. Yeah. Dale_Altman with two N's at the end, capturing this beautifully, dude, in the ocean. You can see a little bit of the sun in the background. It's got that nice, like, you know, sunset going down, and you can see the reflection of the sun on the water, and just everything about this, man. And you're just pushing through, looking beastly as ever, dude, putting the emotion in there. And the capture says Imperius Rex. I mean, it's absolutely awesome, dude. It also says quite easily one of my favorite pictures from my Buffalo shoot with Dale. So this was in Buffalo.
Yeah, so I'm actually from Buffalo, New York. And, you know, my family has a cottage in Lake Ontario. Everyone in Buffalo has a cottage. what I wanted to do was, like, I went home for the summer because of COVID to do with work. But I found Dale, and I was from Buffalo. I was like, oh shit. Like, I contacted him. I loved his photos. And I said, listen, like, I'm going to be in Buffalo. Like, let's plan something. And I actually can't bring my armor, so I brought like this, my Speedo. And we did a shoot, and it's honestly probably still probably my favorite shoot I've ever done. Because, you know, we're in the Lake Ontario, and it's still water. And like, if you know, people don't know, I actually was a swimmer growing up. I made it to States for the 500 free.
Oh, nice, dude. Nice.
So, like, you know, I know all the movements and stuff. And we actually we're kind of inspired to do like a lot of that kind of stuff because we are knee deep in the water. I love, honestly, shout out to any photographer who goes in the water with you because that is just like,
oh, he actually went in.
Oh yeah. He went
That's crazy.
Like you don't even know this shoot was insane. And like we got to my cottage and it was like clear sky, but then there's this random lightning storm for like 20 minutes. So we started shooting on the rocks and it just dissipated. And it was like, that's the color you see is like the color it turned to this beautiful pink. And we're like, we got to get in the water. Yes. And so we did all these cool shots with the water. And like, my favorite shot I've ever taken though too is, where like my, half my face is covered.
Yes, I was just going to talk about that one too. That was in the same shoot.
Yep,
same. That one's amazing, dude. So that's like, so beautifully done.
Yeah, it's my favorite shot I've ever taken.
The way that your eyes are looking and everything, it's just so awesome. Like it makes me just think the way that my mind works and everything. I'm thinking like as if it's going to play out like a movie or something, and like you just see like the still water, and then your head slowly pops up, you know, and then you're kind of going, and then it cuts to the one where you're going through the water. Like absolutely dope, dude. And I mean, you've got so many more. There's plenty more, dude. Leading up to your most recent reveal of the more like Aztec iteration, the MCU version, the Wakanda Forever version, photos by Eric Carroll Photo. And I believe these ones were done in Laguna, right?
No, they were done in Laguna.
Because we were talking about it before, before you did the shoot, and you were talking to me because I'm over in OC and everything. So, you know, I'm still a little hurt that I wasn't invited to the shoot. You know what I mean? So we'll talk about that off camera. You know, I don't want to start crying or anything. So we'll talk about that off camera, but these are absolutely amazing, dude. Eric Carroll Photo. You guys even took it a step further and you brought a Black Panther into the mix done by Amazing T Cosplay on Instagram. And then the special effects were also, were done by Jane Bergstrom. Is it Bergstrom? Yeah. If I'm pronouncing that right. There you go. These are absolutely dope, dude. I mean, really, really accurate. And something that we were talking about that some people may not know is I believe you had this all planned, obviously, before the trailer even came out, right?
Yeah. So quick story before that too is me and Terrence, who did Black Panther, we actually met last summer and we talked about maybe doing a Namor versus Black Panther shoot in general, and we were actually planning for October 2021. But then I kind of got caught up with some Invader stuff, and then also I was like, you know what, like I'm almost done with my Atlantis Attacks armor, which is my favorite armor I've ever done. And we can talk about that later, but so I was like, you know what, let's wait till my Atlantis armor is done and then we can shoot with that because it's really kingly and it's like the best work I've ever done in cosplay. But then December came around and he was like busy with COVID because he's a nurse, and so we just kept pushing it. And then we're like, eventually I was like, dude, let's do this summer. I'm doing like Namor versus Atuma, Namor versus Tiger Shark, and Black.
So cool.
Norma and all this stuff. Like, let's get all this done. He said, sure. And basically I was going to use my Atlantis Attacks armor, my black armor. That was the plan. Mm-hmm. And then they dropped the Namor concept art. And I was like, okay, I got 2 weeks until this shoot. I need to make this. And I was like, I would hate myself if the Namor MCU look was right there and I used an old cosplay. Like I have to, and I was actually
the opportunity lucky. Is right there.
It was right there. And it was, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to make this quick. I'm going to do a version 2 later with more photos because I didn't want to jump right into a cosplay immediately that just came out because it happened with Icarus and there were some changes with like the color. So, I was like, I'm not going to do that again. But I was like, you know what? He's not wearing much clothes anyway. So let's redo it again when you get more photos, which I'm going to do a version 2 of this suit. But so I did that in like 2 weeks. And thankfully my job had off Monday and Tuesday for 4th of July. So I was going to go camping that weekend. But I said, nope, I got it. So I stayed in all 4th of July weekend for like 4 days and iron that shit out for that shoot the next weekend.
It came out great, dude.
So honestly, so worth it. I'm going to go anyway. So
absolutely awesome, dude. You mentioned the Atlantis Attacks was your favorite. And that was actually one of the questions I was going to ask you was it may be hard for you to choose, but I mean, you kind of mentioned that's your favorite. That's your favorite cosplay that you've done, your Namor cosplays.
Yeah. It's also because it's my favorite look. I love the black armor. As I did that, my first one, I wanted to upgrade it, but there's also, I actually made a story or a post about it that kind of shows all the details that are put into it. Cause there's a lot of small details I did that no one's
really cause you do your cosplays yourself, right?
Yeah. I make everything by myself.
Crazy dedication, man.
Armor is like, what's wrapped around like all the entire edges of the armor is I actually had someone 3D print me Atlantean language, the alphabet from like the,
no
the,
way.
The Disney movie. There was like, nice. A big alphabet. So I got that printed out, 3D printed, and I used like foam plan, like imprinted Atlantean language all around the armor. And it's actually, I wrote like this like poem about like kind of like Atlantis. I'm not really much of a writer, but I kind of just like got something out really quick.
About,
like,
yeah, yeah. About,
like, Namor and like Atlantis rising and stuff. And I translated that into the alphabet and then put that, you know, entire like poem around the armor. Cause I kind of thought like, okay, you know, he's a king. Like when kings go into battle, sometimes they have scripture or like runes on their armor for protection. So I thought, okay, so maybe this is protection version of it. And there's like, you know, little like Greek symbols everywhere. Cause they always like, you know, Namor's Greek and origin and stuff. So there's a whole post about it. I won't go on, but you know,
it's, dude, that is so intricate. That's awesome.
Salt stains from seawater. Like I dumped seawater on it and let it like bake.
Nice, dude.
Salt stains. And, you know, I paint, you know, I glossed in some actual sand and stuff. So from Malibu, not Santa Monica, because Namor is classy.
yes. Yeah. That is awesome, dude. That is intricate, man. That is dedication. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so stoked, dude, for Namor and Wakanda Forever, and I know you are too. We've been talking about it since for a couple weeks now, actually, before San Diego Comic-Con even occurred. But I've been waiting to see how Marvel would handle such a character, man. How they would portray Atlantis, which they may not be portraying it exactly how I wanted. But I mean, do you think they're gonna have him be the first mutant in the MCU, and not touching on what's occurred in Multiverse of Madness with Professor X, not touching on the fact that technically Wanda is a mutant and they just have, you know, ignored that. But I know that was before the rights and everything. So who knows if they ever will retcon that. And then spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen Ms. Marvel, she's not an Inhuman, but rather seemingly being a mutant herself. I mean, where does this all fall within the timeline? So many questions, you know what I mean? And it's like, how long has Namor been around within Earth 616? Are they going to tie this back and do some comic accuracy here? I mean, with no current announcements of anything X-Men related at San Diego Comic-Con, we still do have D23, but I kind of still am iffy about that. What do you think his comic origins are gonna be like within the MCU? I mean, being that they've already changed some of them, do you think he'll end up being a mutant in the MCU?
So, I mean, listen, I don't like to believe rumors online anymore because it's like breaking news. And it's like, what's the source? Trust me, bro.
I know.
I'd be shocked if it wasn't because they've been saying there's a mutant in the film. And also, you know, what people, his mutation is actually his little ankle wings. It's not his like, everything else is from like basic Atlantean genealogy, but it's his ankle wings that make him different. I feel like based on the trailers though, these are all just random predictions. I think people might think Namor's like a descendant of like their god or something. Cause it's like no one's ever seen this before.
Yeah.
But that's just a prediction. But you know, I think I'm just happy they actually included them. Cause I think us as a fandom, we're just like so nervous they weren't going to have the ankle wings. Cause I guess some people seem as silly, but they're not,
I dig them. I like them.
Oh yeah. Bill Everett drew them because he wanted Namor to have like, you know, Hermes and like, you know, basically like be looked like he's a god. So that's kind of what Bill Everett's design was for. And actually quick fun fact though, Namor is actually Roman spelled backwards.
Oh, I didn't. I mean, now I see that, but so simple. And I didn't even think about that. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm actually very excited for it.
I don't have too many bones to pick with them at all on anything with, how they're doing Namor from what we've seen in trailers, at least. But I am, and I get the whole, I don't really care about like the race change or anything like that. But what I'm more concerned about is something that I read recently, and I don't have it in front of me. So forgive me if I'm incorrect about anything at all, but, I believe it just recently came out and was confirmed that, he's not going to be from Atlantis at all. Like I heard originally it was going to be kind of like Atlantis, but it was going to be Atlantis, but they were changing where Atlantis was. And now I heard, and again, like I said, I don't have it in front of me, unfortunately, right now. I should have been prepared, but I don't have it. But now I'm hearing that it's not Atlantis at all. They're changing the name and everything.
I forgive people, anyone listening, forgive me my pronunciation, but it's like Talokan or something.
That's what I knew. It was a T. Yeah. I wasn't even going to try it because I couldn't remember, but they're changing it completely. And so I have a bone to pick about that.
Well, the rumor is there it's called Talokan, but people on the outside refer to it as Atlantis, but it's
is that how they're doing it?
I guess they're like, it is Atlantis, but you know, it's actually named Talokan. I mean, I'm pretty fucking excited regardless. I mean,
I'm excited either way. Yeah. But yeah. That's just the one thing. I just wanted it to be Atlantis, man. You know, yeah. I don't know. I mean, just that one little thing like, that I really wanted.
I think Disney just wants to own everything also.
Yeah.
Because Atlantis is public domain, so they can't physically own it. So that's just saying yesterday on Twitter is like, I think Disney just wants to own everything like they usually do. So, and I mean, you know, to be honest, as long he's got the ankle wings, you know, he's got the glare. As long if he says Imperius Rex, I'm done. Like,
I know, right? I also heard that they wanted to veer away from using Atlantis too much because of Aquaman. You know, DC did it first in film, so they were like, oh, okay, well, you know, kind of like just what you're saying. You're always getting the Aquaman comparison and this and that. So I think, you know, some people were saying it's Marvel wanting to veer away from that Aquaman comparison, unfortunately, because Aquaman is a little bit more well known, especially in film. I want to talk to you about the phases, dude. We got a lot of announcements at San Diego Comic-Con for Marvel, dude. A lot of things to look forward to that are hopefully done in a great manner for the future of the MCU, dude. Phase 5 lineup was announced. A couple films in Phase 6 announced ahead of time. So I'll just go through a couple of them real quick, and I have a couple bullet points and whatnot. Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania is going to be opening up Phase 5. Are you an Ant-Man fan or no?
Personally, I'm not. The biggest, it's not Ant-Man specifically. I just think Peyton Reed is a very vanilla director. I don't think he adds any spice.
And I get that. I guess I could see that. I understand where people are coming from when they say that.
I like
Paul Rudd as Ant-Man though. Yeah. Like he really does it for me. I'm really digging the way he's portraying Ant-Man. You know, Scott Lang, the director of this movie, he actually said that this movie will permanently change the MCU. And I have a quote here actually, and I quote, "Things happen in this movie that are going to change the Marvel Cinematic Universe permanently. And it's fun for us that Scott Lang is at the center of that change," end quote. I feel like that is probably pretty accurate, because Kang the Conqueror is making another appearance in Quantumania. They're probably going to be deep into the quantum realm. So I'm actually stoked for that, and for that being at the top of Phase 5. Because I feel like it has the potential to change people's minds about Ant-Man and maybe the Ant-Man films, and kind of go, you know, enter this phase with an absolute bang, to where after the movie, it could possibly leave us going like, holy shit, like this phase is about to be nuts. At least that's what I'm hoping for. We've also got Secret Invasion, which also has a lot of potential to change the course. Yeah, with the scrolls and everything, dude.
I'm mainly excited because I love Emilia Clarke, so I'm very excited for that.
Yes, and she's in there too. Love it, dude. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, another one that's going to be a game changer, because a lot of Guardians are going to be exiting, whether that be through death or whatever that may be. The Echo series is coming, which I'm not a big Echo fan, both in film or the comics. I don't even actually really know too much about Echo. Do you?
Series, to be honest. I don't think Echo's a bad character. I feel like after Hawkeye, I was like, I don't care enough about her to watch it in like. I feel like you could have given a show to someone else first.
Exactly. I mean, the only thing that's true,
she's not a lead.
So. I'm not even going to try to lie, you know, being that I am a big comic head and a big, you know, Marvel fan, I'm not even going to lie. I don't really know anything about Echo. Like, that's one that I just gleamed over completely. Yeah. I think what they're trying to do is, and it's working for me at least to tune in, is, you know, announcing the inclusion of Kingpin and Daredevil in the Echo series. That's going to make people tune in right away. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I mean, it's working for me because I don't really care about the Echo series, but I'm interested just because I want to see what happens with Daredevil, you know? Yeah. But there was, and I know you said you hated rumors and everything, but there was a supposed casting call for Echo that had listed a male in his 20s who is a Louisiana native who was entitled and volatile. And rumors are going around that that casting could be Gambit.
You know, give us that. Give us Rogue.
So yeah, right? Exactly. We got Loki season 2 coming. I'm stoked for that. The Marvels is coming, which is a big, like, a lot of division on everything. Captain Marvel, Miss Marvel, and all of that. But CineStealth reports that they found a leak that contains information that the Inhumans will actually be making a debut in the Marvels, despite Miss Marvel not being an Inhuman and rather being a mutant. The Inhumans are supposed to be making a debut.
I feel like that kind of, like, was kind of like, I don't know. It just wasn't as exciting as I thought it'd be. Like when they said, like, I was like, I didn't read that much Ms. Marvel, but I did love the show. I think it's one of their best shows.
Yeah. I didn't hate the show, to be honest with you. A lot of people hated it. I didn't hate it. And I think a lot of people were looking at it like it's too kiddish, but I was looking at it like, well, it's about a kid. So
it has heart. And I feel like it had, Spider-Man, like original Spider-Man field, where like a community comes together to support their hero. Yeah. Yeah. And they had a great heart, and the family values were great. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one of their better shows, and people really underplayed it, to be honest. Yeah.
Blade is coming. I am stoked about Blade. That's something that I'm interested in seeing. I'm kind of hoping that they continue to tie in. Spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen the Eternals. It's been long enough now. But at the end, with the Black Knight, with the Ebony, is it the Ebony Blade? Ebony Sword? Yeah. Ebony Blade? Yeah. Yeah. And you hear Blade's voice in the background. So I'm curious if the Black Knight will be making any sort of appearance in the Blade movie at all. If they're going to tie any of the Eternals or anything else into Blade, I'm some curious Eternals. To see how that goes. Huh?
I need some Eternals, man.
I know, dude. I loved them, dude. I don't know what people to each their own, man. And then we got
tangent real quick about the not Eternals itself, but just like every show after Eternals. Mm-hmm. How is no one fucking mentioned Tiamat sticking out of the fucking
yes.
open.
Yes, yes, like, dude. Not yes.
once. No one's like, oh, there's this giant hand and head sticking yes. out of the Indian Ocean yes. right now.
I have talked to so many people about this, and nobody really seemed to give a shit when I brought it up either. And I'm like, dude, just like in the MCU, no one cares. You guys don't care. Like, this is such a big deal. I don't know why it's not a big deal to everybody else. Yes.
Like, no one's talking about it. Like,
I
not
feel
even
like
Dr.
it would
Strange.
Be such a big topic, especially Doctor Strange. I feel like he'd be like, wanting to figure out what's going on and police the situation.
They throw away Budapest throwaway lines. But can't they say, how about that fucking Marvel? Yeah.
Yes, dude. Exactly, man. How do you feel about Ironheart, dude? I'm on the, I kind of don't want it. I know that's like going to strike a nerve with some people, but my reasoning real quick is that I'm just such a giant Iron Man fan, and I feel like it's just too soon to have somebody that is like another Iron Man in an Iron Man armor or anything like that if it's not War Machine. You know, if it's not War Machine, I feel like War Machine should get a lot more love. And I know the Armor Wars thing is still a thing, but we just don't know when. But I just feel like War Machine should get more attention first before somebody else comes in having that Iron Man-esque feel to it. That's just my personal opinion. But I mean, what are your thoughts on that? Do you care at all?
I personally have no opinion. I think a lot of it might change after Wakanda Forever because I know Ryu. She's going to be in it.
Yeah, she's in it.
Like Iron Man Mark One or Iron Heart Mark One. So, I mean, it's whatever. Yeah. I mean,
it is what it is. Yep. Agatha Coven of Chaos is coming. And I'm actually, a lot of people are like, I don't think she needs her own show. And it's fine if you think that too. But I believe that this could tie into the Scarlet Witch at some point in time. And I feel like it could do.
Show up.
They're going to have her show up?
I feel like Wanda has to show up.
I feel like she has to, yeah. And I feel like it'll be teased throughout the series, and then it'll be somewhere towards the end where it happens. And I think that's how we're going to get, you know, Wanda coming back into the MCU. That's my guess.
I think too, because like at the end of WandaVision, Wanda goes like, if I need you, I know where to find you.
Right.
I feel like that was like an homage to like eventually they're going to, because maybe that was also this theory too that like, Agatha is like more of a villain in WandaVision, but if you notice, she was corrupted by the Darkhold.
Yeah.
So maybe with that Wanda destroyed all the Darkhold, maybe she's like less crazy. Maybe they can be like more of like how they are in the comics, more of like a mentor, a mentee, and like especially after Wanda went a little nuts.
And I've been wondering too, they haven't released any information on this. Forgive me if I just haven't seen it, but I don't believe they released any information on the Agatha series. I'm also curious, is it going to be a prequel? Or is it going
like
to be
a mix? I mean, I feel like a prequel.
I think it could be. I think they could touch on both, right?
Yeah, because I mean, to be honest, like, I was telling my friend we're watching WandaVision, I would have liked the whole episode to learn about Agatha, and I guess we're going to all show up. I mean, Catherine Hahn is just fucking fantastic. So.
She did an amazing job. Again, another one that like I see a lot of hate for, and I just don't understand it.
I mean,
I dug it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I think there's just so much content coming out. I think Marvel fans are a little bit spoiled right now.
True. Daredevil Born Again, the first Disney Plus series that's going to be 18 episodes long.
I honestly can't believe that because I feel like people have been like saying like, we need more than 6 episodes, and Marvel's like 18.
18? Like, yeah, they're like, here you go. We're giving it all to you. Yeah, dude. I just hope that they do it justice, man. I know there's a lot of bones to pick with like how they handled Moon Knight. Some people were disappointed in that. They wanted it to be darker. They talked about Moon Knight being dark, and it really wasn't as dark as it probably could have been, or at least what people were expecting. And then this has a lot, like you got a lot that the bar is set high for the Netflix Marvel series, man. So if they got to do Daredevil justice, I see a lot of people going around, if they make stupid blind jokes, I'm out. You know what I mean? Like people don't want those cheesy blind jokes. And I got to agree with that. Actually, I don't want all that either. I hope they keep him. What was that?
should be more mature. And I think that's,
I think so too.
I just hope they realize that, because I don't think Daredevil should be Disney-fied. And I don't think so either. What made this show so great was because it was gritty. And like, you know, there was one comment that Kevin Feige said about Moon Knight. It's like, yeah, this is like our most bloodiest and brutal show. There was one point in the editing room where we're like, should we pull back? Like, this just seems like it's tough. And I was like, I was waiting for that moment in the show. I was like,
yeah, where is it?
What is this big moment that you just, should we pull back? Like,
yeah.
Like, let's see some blood. Let's see some guts. Let's see King squishing a guy's head.
Yes.
Or Punisher drenched in blood.
Exactly. Like, is that what we're going to get with Daredevil? Are we going to get those kind of fight scenes with Daredevil? You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't know. I hope so too, man. We got Captain America, New World Order, and I'm actually looking forward to that as well. Okay. And then the Thunderbolts movie, which I feel is too late. I feel like it's too late. I mean, they could still do it, but I just feel like it should have came earlier in these phases, especially because General Ross, the actor, unfortunately has passed away. So we probably won't be getting a Red Hulk. And I was really interested in seeing a Red Hulk.
He might, I mean, he's, you know, he could be cast him.
They could. And I think fans would be okay with that because they just want to see a Red Hulk, I think.
The one I'm actually pretty excited about seeing is I'm excited. They said the rumored like Ghost might come back from
Lost.
I thought Ghost was pretty interesting. I like
their power. I did too.
So, I mean, there's rumors that she'd be in the Thunderbolts. It's like, I would love to see her come back. Her and like Yelena and.
Right. I like Yelena a lot too.
Yeah, so I think it'll be good.
There's things that I'm excited for as well, but I just feel like it should have happened when General Ross was alive, unfortunately. But I mean, obviously, you don't know when someone's gonna pass away, so I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, Phase 6 had a couple things announced as well. But there's one movie on if you look at the little thing, if I can find it, I'll throw it up in editing where you could see the timeline of everything. And if you look before the Fantastic Four movie, there's a slot there that's open. There's a question mark of a movie there. Then it's Fantastic Four, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that right now, but I'm pretty sure there was a movie before Fantastic Four. Then it's Fantastic Four, and then there was five movies in between that leading up to Avengers, the Kang Dynasty, and then two movies in between that leading up to Avengers Secret Wars.
Kang Dynasty.
Oh, yes, dude. I don't think people understand how amazing the Avengers Kang Dynasty, I mean, the multiverse saga can continue to be with Kang. I don't think people realize how crazy of a villain that they could possibly have on their hands here, man. But all those movies that are in between.
I can find the page. So Kang Dynasty is my favorite storyline of all time.
Nice.
She talked to Kurt Busiek, who actually wrote it on Twitter. And there is this one sequence in here that actually blew my mind. I think I actually just found it. This one right here, where they signed the Articles of Surrender to Earth to Kang. And I just like, it blew my mind as a kid. Cause I mean, look at that shit. Like they lost. They didn't just lose. They fucking lost the whole planet.
Yes.
And like Wasp signed Articles of Surrender.
You know what? Why you say that? That reminded me of something, dude. But the last episode I had Hutch Wordsworth on, the Spectacular Spider-Man. And, we were talking about something with Infinity War and with Thanos, right? And how the Avengers lost. How the end of that movie was so like, it hit you so hard and it altered your expectations because you're oftentimes thinking like, well, at some point in this movie, they're going to prevail. You know what I mean? Like they'll work it out. They'll win. Thanos will lose. And it didn't. And it ended like that too. It ended like, oh my God. Like dude just won. He walked away. He went. He sat down and it fucking ended. You know what I mean? So it hit you hard. I'm hoping that we get that level of like that exact kind of, I mean, it doesn't have to be a carbon copy, but I mean, that feeling for the Kang Dynasty.
Surrender, it adds like a new take that's kind of similar to Thanos where they lost, but it wasn't like no one dies and they're all still alive, but he like imprisons all these people and basically, you know, collars and everything, you know, they're like Scarlet Witch and Wonder Man are like really the kind of pinnacle that kind of break out first. But I just think that would be a great way to end it. Like they didn't die, half the universe didn't die, but they literally like diplomatically signed articles of surrender saying we can't do this anymore. We lost.
Right.
It's over. Like that would be.
Yes. That would make me so happy. Actually, I want to see some villains actually prevail and not get an answer at the end of this movie of what's happening. You know what I mean?
Like
I want to see them win.
Be like them signing the pen and then Kang looking up and then cut to black.
Yes. Yes. And don't explain it. You know what I mean? Don't explain it. Like wait till the next movie. Let us linger on it. Let us speculate. Let us talk. Yeah. I want that feeling, dude. But all those movies that didn't get announced at San Diego Comic-Con for Phase 6, I'm assuming that if not all of them could get announced at D23, possibly, maybe not. They could maybe not touch on that at all. But do you think that there's any Spider-Man films in Phase 6? Because we know another Spider-Man trilogy is on the horizon, and Kevin Feige also confirmed that Spider-Man is now going to be a street-level hero, and that he and Daredevil will now lead the street-level heroes. But then there's also, this one's just a rumor, it's not a confirmation, but it does make sense comic-wise that Spider-Man could appear in the Fantastic Four movie as well. You know, we won't see Spider-Man at all for Phase 5, but we'll see him in Phase 6.
I personally would just like to keep the Fantastic Fours themselves and kind of do their own thing, because I feel like there's so much that hasn't been explored personally. You know, maybe the Negative Zone, and kind of introduce Annihilus maybe, because maybe down the line, Annihilation Conquest with Richard Rider, Nova. That's also, I will say, that's one of the biggest fears, actually, is that they're going to announce Nova, but it's going to be a Disney Plus show, and I'm so worried about that.
Because you want it to be a movie, big budget.
It needs to be like Guardians of the Galaxy level budget.
Right. I agree.
I've read his comics, and they're galactic based, and there's these big, beautiful sceneries, and like his powers, especially like Moon Knight should have been a movie with the visual effects they wanted to do.
Yeah,
and I saw that. I was like, this is not going to work for Nova. It's going to look like shit.
Yeah,
visual effects wise, and we are, you know, that's not going well with Disney Marvel right now. I mean, he could be the next like type Iron Man, like a big face, like him and like Carol could be the face of the cosmic world. And I feel like it's a missed opportunity if you just stick him in a TV show.
Yeah, I agree, man. I agree. With all those Phase 6 movies that are, you know, question marks, some people are saying Spider-Man, we could get the Spider-Man trilogy announced in there. Some people are saying it's possible it could be some X-Men films, whether it's an actual X-Men film or maybe mutants getting their own films. But there's also some rumors that, again, I know you hate rumors, but there's some rumors that suggest that when Disney bought Fox, the contract stated that no reboot of X-Men until after 2025. So if that's true, that would mean that we wouldn't get anything X-Men until Phase 7, 8, you know, 7 or 8.
I guess I kind of thinking about the MCU and the way they're kind of setting things up as well, is Secret Wars being like, you know, they go to Battle World, and like maybe after Secret Wars, because I feel like that's the end of the next phase.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's 2025, if I'm remembering correctly. So I feel like maybe they're getting through all these other characters and they're going to introduce the X-Men like after Secret Wars, like, oh, maybe that's how they get. I mean, to be honest, personally, I'd like them to be like always kind of there, and like maybe like Emma Frost or Professor X, like, you know, use their ability to like forget they didn't exist anymore, and like they've stayed hidden,
right?
Say New York. And I'd love to see Emma Frost personally. That's my biggest thing. She needs to be in the film.
Do you want to see like an X-Men movie or do you want to see series, or like do you want certain mutants to get their own series or their own movies?
Yeah.
Like how would you like it to play out?
It could be, I think it needs to be a mix, to be honest. I mean, I've read a lot of X-Men, and I think there's so many teams like X-Factor and like Excalibur and like, you know, all these different X teams. I think you can have your main like X-Men, like kind of like how it is in Krakoa right now. Like the X-Men are like B team, but there's all these other, there's the Marauders and there's the X-Force, and there's all these different things that could be series, or maybe you can buy like Rogue or Storm and give them a Disney Plus series to flesh them out for the first time. But there could be like a set, like main team with like, you know, Wolverine and like Jean and Emma Frost and Cyclops, et cetera. So I think that's how it should play out. Series and movies, I mean, they could be their own fucking thing. So
yeah, I agree, man. Whatever the next couple phases of the MCU look like, man, I will say that I'm excited for so many of them. I just hope that they're done greatly. And while I'm definitely a comedy lover for certain, man, something that I'm actually hoping for is some more serious tones throughout some of these movies, which we kind of discussed a little bit. I think there's been, especially throughout Phase 4, I think there's been a lot of, just my opinion, man, a lot of unnecessary and cheesy comedy where it doesn't need placed. There's a lot of talk going around social media right now of people who feel that Phase 4 was lacking in comparison to previous phases of the MCU, and I'm actually one of them a bit, kind of. I see both sides here. I mean, there's something, like I mentioned earlier with Infinity War, you know, there was something like about the tone of the Iron Man films, the Cap films, the previous Avengers films, even some of the Spider-Man films, I would say, you know, but especially Infinity War and Endgame being prominent examples of that tone. Are the days of those like long gone? Are we just experiencing a different style with this phase until the future unravels, you know?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, firstly, I'm a huge Marvel fan, but to be honest, I'm kind of exhausted. I feel like
it's a lot,
project to project to project. I mean, at first, like, okay, it's the pandemic, their backlog, but now it's like there's basically been Marvel content basically every week, essentially. And to be honest, it's kind of tiring, especially also with social media, and people will literally post plot points like the second they drop. And so if you're like, you either can't go on social media or you have to rush it right away.
I know. I hate that.
It's just like, it gets exhausting. And like, also, to be honest, too, no one talked about the Moon Knight finale, which is actually pretty good because it released the same week as Doctor Strange. But I think the biggest thing though is, I mean, I think a lot of their Disney Plus shows are very mediocre. And I think people are realizing that a little bit because it's not like, oh, it's a big movie. And like no one has time to enjoy these films anymore because we're going to the next one. Okay, cool.
They're pumping them out a little too fast. Yeah. And I think that's another problem too, which a couple of people came out from the CGI team saying that they're pumping them out so fast, they don't even have enough time to properly work on all the CGI. Yeah. They're like, hurry up, get it out. And that's why we're seeing-
I can wait.
Yeah, exactly. Like I can wait so it's actually done the way that it should be. You know what I mean? Why give me something half-assed just because you want to hurry up and pump them out? I think we would rather you take a little bit more time so we could further enjoy them the way that we would like to enjoy them and the way that I feel like the people working on them would actually like them to come out. You know, you just feel so rushed. I feel like that's a problem with it too, because a lot of these movies, even some of the series, have had some bad CGI lately, in my opinion. Oh, you know what I mean? They're not up to par.
Moon Knight specifically, and I mean, it should have been a movie, but I said that before. But I mean, also then the same thing too, is there are some aspects that are different, and it was actually been kind of nice because we're Eternals fans, is after Thor and Love and Thunder came out, and it was not really met well with critics and fans, because there was actually, if you were on Twitter, there was like kind of like a revisionist movement of people on Twitter, like, you know, praising how Eternals was the best film of Phase 4, but no one knew it. And there's just so much love. And I was like, I can't believe this is actually happening. Like, I thought years in there, I was like, oh, it's like 6 months later. People are like, oh, Eternals is actually like a really fucking good movie. And
it
like,
really was. Yes.
It really was. And like, I think the reasoning too, and I think my theory behind it is it kind of was, it had the odds stacked against him, A, being a very unknown property, but also because it came out 1 month before Spider-Man. So even like well before the movie came out, well before the critics even said anything about Eternals, on Twitter, I saw so many people being like, I don't care about Eternals. Let's skip it. Let's just get to Spider-Man because everyone wants Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And also people love Wanda and they want to get to Doctor Strange and they want to get to Thor and like James. Like, everyone's excited for the stuff they know.
Yeah.
And once the stuff they know, minus Spider-Man. Doctor Strange is pretty mid. Thor was pretty mid. Like,
I agree. Yeah.
Looking at Phase 4, what was the best film? Actually, wait, it was Eternals.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Exactly.
I agree. I'm looking at the list of the movies right now, and I got to tell you, I think that was probably the best next to No Way Home, of course, you know what I mean? But like you said, minus Spider-Man and all that. I didn't really like Multiverse of Madness, and I didn't. No. I really wanted to like Thor, man, but I didn't. I just did.
I mean,
man.
It was fun, but I also like, I think about it because sometimes I like to see movies like multiple times. Like I saw Eternals 10 times in theaters. Actually,
that's a lot. Yeah. I liked it, man. I liked it, man. I don't know, dude. People, everybody has their own opinions. It is what it is. But I think possibly people will look back on it. You know what I mean? They're going to continue to go back on it and be like, hey, you know, maybe I should have given this a chance. So I do want to talk to you about a little bit more before we get out of here about your stuff, man. But why don't we break up the monotony and let's get into this week's Cosplay of the Week. Oh, and this week's Cosplay of the Week is none other than the Grim Asylum cosplay. And I'm throwing it up on the screen right about shing. Now, look at this, man. And that's the _Grim_Asylum_cosplay on Instagram, dude. And it is Wolverine, and it is an amazing Wolverine, dude. Absolutely amazing. And this photo was done by _Photrography. And that's Photrography. _Photrography_. Absolutely dope photo, man. I love all the effects that you got going on there, whether it just be lighting or whether it be some editing or whatnot. It looks absolutely amazing. You did an amazing job capturing the Grim Asylum here. And then, dude, Grim, oh my gosh, man. Amazing Wolverine, dude. You got the claws going. You can see the glare on the claws. I mean, absolutely amazing. The mask, the cowl that you've got, dude, so, I mean, just comic accurate, animated series accurate. I mean, so awesome, dude. Everything that everybody wanted from Hugh Jackman's Wolverine, for sure, dude. I like how in the middle of the helmet, you got like, it's kind of like indentations and everything, you know? So I love when cosplayers have that kind of stuff with their with their helmets or with their cowls or with anything where it's got like some battle worn-ness to it, you know, like it's been through some shit. You know what I mean? It's not just shiny and brand new. I love it, dude. I want to throw up another photo here, and I'm throwing it up now. And this photo was done by, let me see. Where is it at? My bad. I'm sorry. Cosplay by Pedro. Spelled exactly how it sounds. This was from MCM Birmingham 2021. Absolutely dope, dude. You can see a little bit more of the actual suit in full. You can see the chest and everything looking beastly. It's like a 24 pack going on there, dude. Dude's been working out, man. Absolutely dope. I love the classic black and yellow and everything, dude. The yellow on the chest piece and everything. The X symbol right there on the chest. The black shoulders, arms, everything going down with a little bit of the yellow stripes. I mean, it's looking absolutely awesome, dude. Right here on the traps and everything. It's your traps, right? Am I getting that right? Yeah, that drew a blank for a minute there. The traps got a little bit of yellow going on as well. I mean, dude, so awesome, man. And I do want to throw up a third photo real quick. Throwing it up now. And this one is insane, dude, because it's like, you don't get to see too much of the actual cosplay, but it's the emotion felt in it. The photographer did an amazing job. That's photography once again on this shot, where it's like he's very lightly lit. It's kind of a darker background, a little bit of the shadow going on there. Absolutely menacing. He's got his mouth open a little bit. He's you know what I mean? You can see the claws in the background. I mean, it's absolutely awesome, dude. I mean that, dude. Absolutely awesome. This is so cool, dude. Grim, I want to know where'd you get your suit, dude? Did you make your suit? Does somebody else do your suit? How's that going on, man? So I can give them the credit and everything too. Obviously, this will become a promo clip on Instagram if you don't see the full episode. So I'll, of course, give them credit on Instagram, but unfortunately, they won't be given credit on the actual episode. This is dope, dude. This is so cool. And I just thought it was super fitting being that we're talking about a bunch of Marvel stuff and everything. And we've got Namor cosplay here today. Once again, if this is going to be just a promo clip, if you did not watch the full episode, we've got Namor cosplay here today. And we're talking about Namor cosplay, his cosplay, San Diego Comic-Con, a bunch of Marvel stuff. And like I said, I just thought this was absolutely fitting. So the Grim Asylum cosplay, your Wolverine cosplay for me, and Namor cosplay is amazing. So cool, dude. Damn, dude. I've always kind of wanted to cosplay Wolverine myself, but people always tell me it's such a hard one to pull off, man, unless you're willing to spend some good money on an absolutely amazing suit and cowl. You know what I mean? But I got the height for sure. I'm not as small as Wolverine. Before I mention this, and people are like, holy shit, Chazzy's fucking 5'2". You know what I mean? Like 5'2", 5'3". I'm not, but I'm just saying I'm a shorter average guy. So I got the height and everything. And,
I'm actually one inch taller than Namor. According to Marvel Encyclopedia, he's 6'2", I'm 6'3", so.
Oh, shit, man. God damn, you're tall, dude. Fuck. Yeah, I dig this, man. But you, dude, let's round this out. Talk a little bit more about you real quick, man. Your Icarus cosplay is damn phenomenal, dude. We were talking about the Eternals right before we got into the cosplay of the week, and your Icarus cosplay is absolutely amazing, dude. Let people say whatever they say about the Eternals, but you cannot say anything about this cosplay other than it is absolutely amazing. It's just grade A all around, dude. One of these photos that I want to throw up, it's got you. The edit is by Yamasaki PH_art, if that's all pronounced correctly. Amazing, dude. The I-beams coming out. I mean, all the debris and everything in the background. This edit is nuts, dude. And I was just going to say that. Yes, it's a cover recreation.
It's a variant of Eternals number one from Kieran Gillen, the 2020.
So good, man. I want to throw up another one, which the photo was done by Eric Carroll Photo, who did the Namor and Black Panther photos that you guys did. And I want to throw this one up, not just because the eye beams and everything, once again, amazing edit, but this one you get to see full body of the suit. And the suit is insane, dude. So intricate. It's amazing, man. And it just pops.
I backtrack one of my statements, too. I feel like Icarus is actually one of the harder cosplays I've ever had to make.
Really? Did you make that, too, yourself?
Yeah. Jesus, I made it myself, man. Just on the part, too. Like,
kudos to you, man.
It was so hard because like I loved the Eternals. I fell in love with them after they announced the film. Mm-hmm. And like back in 2018. So I read them and I was like, these guys are incredible. Makari is technically my favorite in the comics. And I'm actually doing a comic Makari because he's actually a dude in the comics.
Yeah.
But Icarus, I was very excited because I love Richard Madden. I wanted to do the cosplay and the concept art and the trailer. So I did it. And I said, if I can draw out the whole torso part, which is super fucking complicated, then I'll do it.
But
got like a mold of paper and I just drew it a Sharpie. And then I was like, okay, I guess we're doing it. So I spent a whole month on it. Like that's all I kind of did. And I was actually the first Eternals cosplayer too. And I got it done. And we actually, for that shoot too, with Eric, we were trying to think of a spot where to go. And like the movie wasn't out and I was trying to think of the comics. And I was like, well, they're all in the mountains. And we actually did like, and it was a pretty easy hike too. We hiked up like a mountain, like a small like hill, mountain, whatever.
Were you in cosplay when you were hiking or did you change when you got it? Okay,
I was carrying it like this the whole way up. It was like up in Thousand Oaks. Like,
I thought that'd be great. You're in the Icarus cosplay fully just walking and people are like, what the fuck is going on, dude? All the way up here on a mountain, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was carrying it like this. So like the whole thing. I mean, that's the thing too with my photos is like, I don't like to get stuff like at like a parking garage because I don't think, well, if you are a street level character, that's okay. Mm. But I do like these characters that are like larger than life and I feel like I can't just do them anywhere. And I want the scenery and like also me and Eric talk about this all the time is like we want the quality of the photo to match the work that went into the cosplay.
Yeah.
And I always try to do is we hiked the mountain and he was cool with it because I told him, I was like, these are your two options. One doesn't require a hike. Let me see the photos. And I said, we're doing a hike. And I was like, great.
Yeah. Let's
do it. I was like, you said it. So you're just, I gave you the out.
How long did it take to get up there?
Oh, it's like 45 minutes. Like, it's in Thousand Oaks. It's like a straight path mostly. Then it's just a big incline. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't too bad except for the incline. But
nice.
I mean, photos are worth it. That's what I would say.
Yeah, absolutely worth it, man. From numerous amazing Namor cosplays to this beautiful iteration of Icarus, the phenomenal Homelander that you've done, dude. That was absolutely amazing, man.
I also like to plug this thing too. Is we've previously mentioned it, but I've dubbed this summer the summer of Namor. And that is not just like because like of like, oh, I'm Namor, but because I feel so lucky and blessed that I have made such great friends in this community. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've also built this like, it feels weird saying brand, but like this image of being a Namor only cosplayer minus a few other characters. But I've been able to get these friends to do these characters for me. And I've been doing, obviously with Namor and Black Panther, but I shot again, Namor versus Tuma. I asked this guy, like we follow each other, never talk. I said, hey, I like you, this Kokonan, the barbarian, like very barbaric. And I was like,
right.
Well, Batuma's a barbarian king. So like, so we chatted and never heard of Batuma, got into it and looks great. And then my biggest one is Namor and Lady Dorma. Lady Dorma's in love with his life and his like wife before she got killed. But I asked Dark Matter Cosplay. We just did that 2 weeks ago. I mean, the photos are going to drop. We look hot. Like it's incredible.
I can't wait to see him, dude.
And then next month I'm doing Namor vs. Tiger Shark, which is I'm very excited about. And then Namor vs. Empress Lyra. She's green. And then in September I'm doing Namor and Namorita and then maybe Namora. I'm not sure yet.
Nice.
So, I'm just seeing all these great side characters that are specific to him.
Yeah.
With these friends because like, you know, they're fantastic cosplayers, but like I've been able to make friends with them so that we were able to do these cool things. So, and his era is here too. So
yes, the time is now. There's no better time than now, man. And you've already made a name for yourself in general. So that I'm looking forward to this dude for sure. From Namor, dude, to Icarus, to Homelander, to Nova and to everything in between, dude, I haven't even asked yet. How did you even get your start in cosplay, dude? When did it start?
So it's like a two-parter, I guess. I got started in college. I did like a Captain America stealth suit. I got like a leather jacket, like from like one of those cosplay websites. I did it for like a party at Halloween. And I was like, this is so much fun. I want to be like a character. And like, I love Halloween and dressing up and stuff. So, and then the next year I went to my first con at LA Comic Con when I was studying abroad, like for the summer in LA, because I work in entertainment. But I went there with the Punisher. It's just straight pain in my chest. I painted like a vest, like the skull and like all that stuff. That was simple. Then I did another one when I moved out to LA, I did Aegon Targaryen and the Mummy.
I was going to bring that up. The Mummy.
I saw that. I'd like to do that one again, actually, like in October, go to like some sand dunes or something.
But that would be crazy cool, dude.
Yeah, but like my thing was like, I was LA Comic Con, I'll go there, do one cosplay a year kind of deal. But then, kit, and you know, I got to a point in the paper where I was like, I read everything I wanted to. I've caught up on the shows I've been meaning to catch up on, and like, you know, the weekends I was looking forward to the work week, you know, because what am I doing the weekends? I need something creative to do, and I was like, you know what, I want to do Namor. And then I got into the physique show, so like they worked hand in hand, and then I kind of got addicted because, and it's a good addiction. It's expensive, but it's a fun addiction. It's kind of like free. It's fun. It's my own thing. Like I don't do commissions because it's like I like my own stuff for my own self, and. It gives me something to do. And Namor is my biggest character. And also like I have an obsessive personality, and that's also why I chose Namor, because it kind of gives me something to stick with. And you know, because sometimes I start something and not finish it. And I'm actually pretty proud, since I've cosplayed, there's no unfinished cosplays in my home, because once I start something, I have to finish it. I can't. Right. I know that's like a big thing in the community where it's like, I got 8 unfinished cosplays. Like, yeah. I'm so I need to get this done.
Right.
I'm thinking about this one cosplay and the photos we're going to take and how I'm going to feel in this cosplay. So I got to get it done as soon as I can. After Atlantis Attacks in December, I was like, I need to do something fresh because I just didn't feel motivated to do another Namor again at that point, because I was like, I've done so many. I did my favorite costume. And so I did Nova, which is my second favorite character. And that's been really fun. New chain, full costume. Yeah.
Amazing job on that. Absolutely amazing job. I know for some cosplayers, man, cosplaying is just for fun. For others, it's more of like a deepened passion project. For some, it's a escape from reality. For others, it's turned into kind of a stepping stone into acting, which is something that I'm seeing a lot more, you know, more and more lately, especially with a lot of the people that I talk to. Is there a goal for you with whether it be within cosplay or within the entertainment realm as a whole, maybe? I mean, do you see yourself turning this love for cosplay into anything else, or do you still have a lot of exploring to do within pushing the limits, like what you've been doing with your cosplays lately? I mean, what's next for Namor cosplay? What does the future hold as a whole?
I mean, to be honest, I think these next couple months to really determine it. But to be honest, I'm not an actor. I don't act. Mm-hmm. I don't like how I sound sometimes, so I would never act. Namor's got a very deep voice, so I don't match that. But I will always say the cosplay peak for me would be, I've always wanted to like be on like a comic cover. So I'm like, hoping it'd be kind of cool to be like a cosplay cover variant, but that like, it's not going to be like an end goal. Cause honest, it's all about fun. And when I started doing Namor cosplay, like this is like, you know, all this Namor rumor stuff has been going around, but I never did it with intent to be like, oh, one day it's going to be in a film. And all this stuff. I just did it out of love for this character. And I think I'm just going to continue to do that after the movie comes out, because there's still so many suits I want to do. And I'm just going to do my own thing, to be honest, and see where it goes. And I actually had a whole bunch of characters I wanted to do this year that I actually stopped. I lied. I do have one unfinished cosplay, but it's not really that started. It's just templates. I've been wanting to do Ronan the Accuser for a very long time.
Dude, I think you told me about that.
I posted about it too, because I'm going to start Ronan. I just finished Nova. I'm in a cosmic mood. But then Namor happened. So not a bad thing. But now he's my priority now, because, you know, I feel like I need to make sure that, you know, just really that. I mean, I'm just kind of taking the flow and, you know, just having fun with it. I mean, that's kind of what cosplay is for me. We're all just adults playing dress up. So just kind of doing that. Like, I feel very blessed that I'm able to do these shoots, and I never thought I'd be able to, you know, get someone to do Lady Dorma or Tiger Shark or these random ass characters. Yeah. But
I'm so stoked to see those. I mean, either way, you're living a dream. You know what I mean? You're living a dream, and in some way, shape, or form, you're being creative. You're putting something out there. And as long as you're happy, you know what I mean? As long as you're doing something that it's making you happy, man, because it's also, whether this is a highlight for you or not, it's making other people happy. You know what I mean? Yeah. Even myself, for instance, like, I appreciate it. I'm loving it. I enjoy it. I enjoy checking it out. You know what I mean? And stuff like that. Yeah. So it's awesome, dude. I mean, congratulations with everything that you've got going on and everything that you do for the community, whether you think you do or you don't, you do. And you mentioned that you always wanted to be on a comic cover. Right. Well, look what we've got here. No, I'm just kidding. I would love to be that kind of person one day where I'm like, hey, well, check it out. We've got it. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I could do that. You know what I mean? One day hopefully when the podcast gets to a higher level, I got like a whole production team, you know, and they like prep my guests for me or something. They're like, what have you always wanted? You know what I mean? And you're like in the back telling the producers, man, I've always wanted to be on a comic cover. And then I have somebody sketch something up real quick. And I'm like, look what we got here. And I bring it out. The band plays all this music and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, you're crying. It's my dream come true. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've always wished I could pull something off like that, man.
But, I do have something like an idea of what I want to do down the line, because obviously Instagram will fade down the line.
Yeah,
but my goal is I got inspired by the person who's led my edits, is Pat Loika. He has an art book with all of his edits. He has amazing edits, by the way. But I thought, like, okay, you know what would be really cool is I'm making these for me, these photos. I think it's just really cool to see yourself as these characters. And that's why I love taking photos. And that's why I really don't like reels, to be honest, because I feel like if I do a reel, it has to be like the Nova stuff where it's like professional. Right. I don't like doing like cell phone stuff, like more
I say that, yeah. It
just feels cheap. And I like my stuff to be very high quality, because
I feel the same way. Yeah.
I don't like putting out shit, and it's for me as well. This is cosplay is not for anyone else but me and like people who like my stuff. But at the end of the day, like I live with my own work. But my goal is to make an art book, like maybe a couple of years, like maybe in 2 years or something. Mm-hmm. It's just a massive book. And it's like every single one of my photos, just like kind of like, you know, sectioned out based on characters and costumes and stuff. So that way, like, you know, like 20 years from now, like this is a big part of my life. And, you know, maybe one day I won't be cosplaying as much. So I'll be busy. Like, but at least then everything I have is immortalized in this book.
Right.
And, you know, maybe when I have kids or something, they can see this or like, grandkids, yeah. I could be 9 years old. And I could be like, remember when I had abs?
Yes. Yes. Yes, dude. So absolutely,
that's
awesome.
That's kind of like to answer the question. That's my long-term goal, is to have an art
that's
book
cool.
with everything I've ever done, because
yeah.
it's art form. And I think people don't realize that because it's so nerdy, but cosplay is art. And
yeah, definitely.
Prefer, like some people are like, that's not art. I was like, yeah, it is. I'm building
100% it is.
Out of nothing. Like out of like
yeah.
pieces of foam.
Yeah. It's all of it. It's all of it. Yeah. The stuff you're creating, it's coming from an idea. I see that. I want to do that. And you're creating it. You don't even have to be. This is not downing any cosplayers that aren't doing the creations themselves,
oh, yeah.
aren't doing the props themselves, because that you give the kudos to the prop makers that are doing that as well. You know what I mean? So it's yeah. it's all of it together. And then it's the photographers that take the photos. It's the editors that do the editing, or if the photographer does it themselves. It's the people that, you know, take a cosplayer and, just like you said, being on the cover of a comic or anything like that, an illustration of any kind. It's the people that take that art, get inspired by your cosplay, and then they make the art of the cosplay that you were doing, that you were inspired by from the comic book or the movie to begin with. It's all yeah. tied in. It's all art. It's all creative. It's all people pumping stuff out, dude. So I dig it. You know, that's one of the reasons as well that I do this podcast, and that I include cosplayers and I include the cosplays of the week, because you guys are creatives. You guys are art, and you guys do deserve the shine, and you guys do deserve the highlights. And if I can provide that, then that makes me happy too, man. While we are going to get ready to get out of here, dude, I do want to thank you for being here, man. I do want to give you the spotlight to say whatever it is that you want to say, plug whatever you want to plug. If you have it, shout whoever you want to shout out. Shout out if you have it, whatever it is. The floor is yours, man.
Sure. Well, you know, I'm Namor Cosplay, and you know, his era is here. Namor Nation rise. You know, I think it just in general as a person, I'm very excited that we're getting Namor, and I think Tanak Huerta is the perfect Namor, in my opinion. I mean, he's got the glare. I was sold. Like, he came down the throne. Mm-hmm. Amazing. But yep. You know, I think honestly, I just hope that these next couple months. My biggest hope is that people learn to love Namor, and that he's a badass and he's a really great character. And, you know, that there are, you know, Namor Nation is a small but mighty fandom. And I hope maybe by November, it's a big fandom. That's yeah. kind of my hope. And, you know, Imperius Rex. So.
Yeah. Definitely, dude. Hell yeah, man. Everyone, please go follow Namor Cosplay on Instagram, spelled exactly how it sounds. Also on TikTok. Is your TikTok the same thing? Just Namor Cosplay? I don't remember right now.
I just started posting on TikTok. I'm capitalizing on that right now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. With Instagram looking like it's dying, I'm trying to do the same thing, man. Please go follow Namor Cosplay on Instagram and TikTok as well. All one word, spelled exactly how it sounds. It's been absolutely awesome having you here, man. I mean that. I appreciate your time. It's been a long time coming, dude. Ladies and gentlemen, the King of Atlantis, Lord of the Seven Seas. He's got 7 Namor Cosplay. It's still 7, right? It's still 7
to come, baby.
8 to come. He's got 7 Namor cosplays and an 8th to come. Nova Prime, Icarus, Homelander, and everything in between, man. Thank you for chatting it up with me, man. I really appreciate it. It has been great. And to everybody tuning in right now, thank you for watching, for liking, for commenting, for sharing, for doing all those beautiful things that you do over on youtube.com/sideprojectpodcast. When you go down and hit that big red subscribe button and it goes, when you hit it, I love it when it does that, don't you? Thank you for watching on Spotify. Go follow and like and rate and do all the things you do on Spotify, because videos are available on Spotify as well. Thank you for listening wherever you be listening to your podcasts. Wherever you be listening to your podcast. Why'd I say it like that? I don't know. You tell me. I appreciate you guys from the bottom of my heart. If you're looking for me, you can find me at IG Hates Chazzy on Instagram. And everything else you need to find me at is right here on the screen. If you want to follow the podcast on Instagram as a whole, you can find it on Instagram at Side Project Podcast. Remember, that's project with a K. I appreciate you guys so much. We are out.